Well, let's get started because I hope to stir brain cells for your lesson this coming week. And as I say, you're welcome to throw stones. So let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for your precious word, Lord. Indeed, it is a light to our path. It's encouragement to our hearts. It fulfills us and speaks to our hearts in ways that we so desperately need. And we praise you for that, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for each of us. We thank you for the hard times that keeps us on our knees. We thank you for the good times that gives us cause to rejoice. And Lord, we thank you for your preciousness that you want to teach your word to us. Lord, what a thought that is. I thank you so long ago, Lord, that you dragged me into a Bible study and you made me sit down and look at your word. I had never done that before. So I pray for anybody that's new here that they will find a place of refuge, to find a place of comfort, find a place of encouragement. That they too can study, be it their first language or their second language, that they will come face to face with the living God. What a thought that is. Bless us, Lord. We need to hear from you. Deliver us from hearing from people. Help us, Lord, to have ears to hear and then hearts to do. And we'll simply give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. An incredible diversity of people claim they know God. President George Bush, President Barack Obama, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, I can never say that his name, of Iran, Netanyahu of Israel, Pope Benedict XVI, and the Dalai Lama, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, and the Reverend Billy Graham, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and Governor Sarah Palin. Now, all these people say they know God, but can all these people who live out such extremely different lives and beliefs really know him as he truly is? Or do they know just facts about him? But you know what? I need to ask the same question of us. Do you and I just know facts about God, or do we know him? Are you here to really come to know him closer, to have a walk? Do you want to walk with the Lord like Adam did? He walked and talked with the Lord in the cool of the evening. Or how about Enoch? Enoch knew the Lord. He was so filled up with the presence of God that one day he was walking here and the next day he found himself walking in heaven with the Lord. Wow. But how about as Noah knew him? Are you able to risk your entire reputation, put everything on the line? Do you care more about what God thinks of you than anyone else? And how about Abraham? He knew God. He knew God as a friend. Who is this God who leaned out of nowhere to interrupt eternity with the glorious dawn of history? And I love writing that word history because it's his story. Who is the one we can know? Who is this God? Who is this God of glory whose very presence can give you fulfillment to the empty? When I was dragged to Bible study and I came through the door, I was the most empty person in the whole world. And he brought me fulfillment. How about the healing of brokenness? How about what he can give us, forgiveness to the sinful? How about freedom to the bitter? So easy to become bitter in this world, isn't it? How about strength to the weak? Had a little trouble getting out of bed this morning? It's nice to call on the Lord, isn't it? How about courage to the fearful? Newspaper doesn't tell us everything, does it? How about reality to the religious? Hope to the hopeless? Love to the loveless? You want to know him? It's not just facts, but to know him. You know what? We can't comprehend eternity, and yet we're going to use that word a lot. But I'll give you a handle. It's kind of like trying to explain the Trinity by looking at an egg. But I'll give it to you. Okay, this is eternity. Number one, everything before creation. How's that? Pretty good? That has taken place and will take place from here on out until the end of the world. That's the first part. Second part. And then after this world, everything that will take place after that. He said, well, that's not a very good explanation of eternity. It's the best I can do. So it's hard to grapple with these truths, isn't it? God as creator is eternal. Therefore, he's not bound by time. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. We don't like to hear that, do we? Because we want God to take care of things yesterday, not in the future. Could it be that the billions of years attached to various aspects of the planet and the solar system are in actuality part of the mystery of eternity, where there is no time as we know it? I have to stretch a little bit. How about, since God is not bound by time, could the 6 days of creation be 24-hour days on our clock, while at the same time be thousands or millions of years on God's time clock? Let you think about that. How about, this is a real stretch here. Think of this. Jesus Christ hung on a cross for 6 hours of earthly time. However, since Jesus Christ is himself God, could it be that those 6 hours of earthly time were an eternity on his time clock? Did Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God who sacrificed for the sin of the world, actually suffer an eternity of God's wrath and punishment for our sins while hanging on that cross? That's a stretch, isn't it? God is also not bound by space. He's everywhere present. The crew from the Apollo 15 landed on the moon, and their very presence, they sensed someone was with them. Well, why not God? He's not bound by space. Only once was Jesus bound by time and space. He was bound by a woman's womb, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. He was bound in a body of a baby, came an adolescent, bound by a man's body. He knew weariness and hunger, and on the cross, the spikes held his hands and feet. He was bound. Why? Because he loves us so much, he wanted to make us free. Free from all that binds us, like emptiness, like bitterness, like brokenness, like loneliness, like fearfulness, like weakness, and religiousness, and every kind of sin. Wow. Praise his name. Well, God is greater than creation, just like the potter is greater than the pot he's making on the wheel. Like the author who writes the book is greater than the book that he writes, or the musician, the music that he creates. But there's nothing greater than God. What are you facing that is greater than you are? An emotion? A person? An illness? A lawsuit? A responsibility? Oh, he's bigger. He's our creator, who is an authority over everything and he's fully able to control that which seems like so out of control in our lives. He's able to handle it because God is separate from creation. He's not in that sunset. He's not in the Grand Canyon or Yellowstone or Hawaii or wherever. We worship the one who created it all. He's separate from his creation. So when something is wrong, he can right it. When something is broken, he can mend it. When something hurts, he can heal it. If something is lost, he can find it. The eternity of God is revealed in the phrase, in the beginning. The deity of God is revealed in the word God. And his activity is revealed in the last phrase of verse 1. He created the heavens and the earth. Just start thinking about how big God is. And he's active in big ways. It's estimated that there's 400 billion stars in the Milky Way and that there's another 100 billion galaxies or another 100 billion Milky Ways out there. There's more stars, they figure, than all the sand, grains of sand on all the beaches in all of Earth. And every one of them is numbered and named by the Lord. And he holds it all together. Praise God. You don't go out tonight and look in the heavens and say, oh, looks like the Big Dipper just fell apart. Or you don't wake up in the morning and say, wonder what happened to the sun this morning. No, he holds it all together. So he's very big. So I ask you, what big things are you facing? You say, well, I'm not facing anything big. I'm facing some little small things. 100 years ago, when I was in high school, we studied the cell, and there was only 3 parts to a cell. In the 70s, when I went back to school, guess what? There's a whole world within a cell. A lot of things changed when they invented that microscope. It was so much easier when I was in high school. So much. But you know what? He's in the small things too, and those tears that you shed last night and those tear-stained eyes, he wants to wipe that away and to fix it. He's also in that act of kindness when somebody reached out to you. He also knows about that lie that somebody said about you. He also knows all about that sip of water, all these little things. How about that nagging worry that kind of sits over your mind, and it just keeps running through there, and you worry about it. No, he's the God of worries. So the foundation of our country now, we're watching it. It's just completely eroding away. Eroding away. It's being destroyed. The Constitution has been thrown out. But I can give you one sure hope. Jesus Christ never changes. In a lifetime where we watch things change from day to day, it's so relieving to me to know that the Lord never changes and he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. What a sure promise that is. Nothing can separate you from his love. His grace is sufficient. His word never fails. His promises are true. I hope your Bible is worn out. I hope you're writing initials next to promises in the Psalms and other places for your family members that don't know the Lord. How about 2 Peter 3:9? If you have a husband that doesn't know the Lord, you've got to actively take God's word and live by it and claim those promises. It's our foundation of faith is in Christ. And he's the one that needs to build our lives, not the government, not our country, not our degrees. We wait on the Lord. It's he'll work with us. He'll give us instruction. He'll show us the way. Well, welcome to Genesis. I've never done the first part. I've always done starting with the patriarchs on. But I had a lot of fun this summer writing questions about beginnings. And I think one thing is, my husband's been years in BSF, he's a leader there, and I looked through his notes and I thought, you know, no one seems to attack evolution right on or spell it out for what it is. And I think that's what I hope to do with each of us, is that we will have a handle on that. Evolution is something to be stepped on, not something to be studied or even considered. It's, we'll compare. Have you ever done that? I hope so. And look for Jesus in these first verses. He's there, and the Holy Spirit's there, and God the Father's there. Look for him. Look for repeated phrases. God is repeating something for a purpose. And most of all, I hope as you get into the lessons and all, that you'll enjoy it. I hope it challenges you. I hope you can't come next week with every single one of them done, because then I would feel like I didn't make it hard enough. Most of all, I want you to think. Today, one of the problems with most kids in school and the public school system is that they don't know how to think. They don't know how to study or to pull truths out or to compare it with this or that. And you as a mom or a grandma can help them to learn to do that. We need to. I think the church has been quiet for a long, long time, and now it's time to take a stand and not let the world keep pushing us around in its mold. Anyway, I hope that gets the brain cells working, and you have a good time. Your discussion leader will call you. If you have any trouble, you can tell her. If you feel that you're in the wrong group and need to be with somebody that you know, that's fine. We'll try to arrange that. But anyway, we're a pretty simple class. But the main thing is that you and the Lord get together in the Word of God. That's where you're going to learn. That's where God taught me. So let's ask him to help us this week. Father, I thank you for your precious Word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us light, that teaches us what's really there. Help these ladies to carefully look at these verses, Lord, to see what you repeat and why you repeat it. Thank you that there's a sure anchor, there's a sure foundation for our faith, that we don't have to skip over anything, that your Word teaches us. Lord, we don't know very much. And even if you had far more in the Word of God for us, we wouldn't understand it. If you told us how you created, we'd say, we probably wouldn't get it. So thank you that there's enough to build faith on. Thank you that it's a sure promise. Thank you that our lives can be anchored to that. And I pray if there's any woman here today that doesn't know you, that's never taken that time to say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need you as my Savior. I pray today would be the day that they would get alone with you and ask you into their lives to cleanse them of their sin and to make them your child so they might have understanding as they go into the Word. Help that one. Help us all, Lord. We need your help. We don't understand your Word without you. So we look to you this week. Bless each lady, Lord. Encourage their heart, their situation, whatever they're struggling with. May it be a good week, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.